And we'll now move to House District 26, and our first candidate is the incumbent, Lindsay Holmes.
Thank you, Michael. Growing up in West Anchorage, my parents were really active members of this community, and they instilled in me a strong sense of community and of public service. Whether they were working on the PTA or the Planning and Zoning Commission or Project 80s, they taught me that it takes hard work to build a great community. And my parents are really my inspiration. It's the hard work of people like my parents that made sure that Anchorage was such a great place for me to grow up and is a place I'm really proud to call home. I love our community, and I'm running for re-election because I know that it takes hard work and dedication to make sure that Alaska continues to be a great place for all of us to live. Thank you.
Thank you. And now challenger Phil Eisley.
Well, I don't belong to a party, and a lot of people ask me why I'm running, and that's kind of a difficult question. The biggest thing is I kind of see our freedom slipping away. I grew up in Alaska, and we were pretty free most of the time to do a lot of things that we wanted, and we didn't have a lot of restrictions. And every year, it seems like there's more and more restrictions, and our freedom keeps going away. And the spending tends to give you a lot more government people doing government things. And I look at the way that Anchorage is going, and most people, when I go to the community council meetings, they say, you know, we really like the fact that here in Spinard, everything's a little bit different. And then when we do something, we standardize it all to make it look the same. And I guess I'd like to see us stay a little bit different instead of look like every other place in America.
Well, have an opportunity perhaps to follow up on that by asking a question of your opponent.
For a question, you've done a lot of good things in the legislature, I guess, and nobody has any bad comments about you. But on your domestic violence issues and stuff, they're in an important issue, and I understand you wanting to protect, but do you ever feel that maybe you've gone a little bit too far and have actually violated the rights of some people, and some of your solutions have actually added to the problem?
Thank you, Phil. That's an excellent question. And it is a really tough one. I'm proud of my record on sexual assault and domestic violence. We have the highest rates in the nation, unfortunately, on those rates of domestic violence and sexual assault. And one of the bills that I'm very proud of having sponsored that the legislature passed was to increase penalties for repeat domestic violence offenders. And for some people, that might be seen as a draconian measure. But if there are people who are picked up and convicted three times within a year for sexual assault and domestic violence, I think we need to up the ante a bit. I've also put in bills that have passed that have done good things to protect the sexual assault victims by issuing restraining orders more easily. That's not increasing any kind of penalties. It's just trying to protect people. And I think I'm very proud of that.
A rebuttal, Mr. Eisley?
Well, the reason I asked the question is I worked with a guy, and his girlfriend got upset with him and accused him of domestic violence. There was no physical evidence whatsoever, but he went to jail for 2 weeks, and when he found somebody that finally got him out of jail, he was on third-party custody for another 6 months before they finally dropped all the charges. And the whole time, he was being offered plea deals and with no physical evidence whatsoever. And I believe that's that kind of violated his rights. And also, it seems that the domestic violence is kind of escalating. Our Anchorage police officers have shot two people for domestic violence this year and killed them. And it seems to be, the more laws we make, the worse it seems to get.
Okay, now we'll go to Representative Holmes, your opportunity to ask Mr. Eisley a question.
Well, Michael, this is actually quite interesting because the question I was actually planning to ask Phil was right along the same lines. I was going to ask him, and this is an interesting conversation, so I'd like to follow up. I was going to ask what, Phil, you think we should be doing with the skyrocketing rates of domestic violence and sexual assault to address this issue in the state.
Well, actually, I'm kind of old school about that. I think if you cut back on the amount of money, the welfare money, and the different checks that you gave people to where they would have to start going back to work for a living, and work hard, you would start losing some of that, because the more idle time you have because somebody's paying your rent, paying your lights, paying your cell phone, the more time you have to get in trouble. Whereas if you come home after a hard day's work, by human nature, you have more self-respect for yourself and you don't tend to get in as much trouble.
Lindsay Holmes, a rebuttal or comment?
Well, actually, I think we've got some points of agreement here. I definitely think the best thing you can do to people is give them a job and give them something to do. I think that that's a problem in some of the areas of our state where unemployment is so high. I think it's definitely part of the problem. Too much time on your hands, and in a lot of cases in this state, too much alcohol on your hands is leading to these. So I think we need to do a lot of prevention work, not just locking people up, but we need to get into the schools and we need to do job programs. We need to teach people that this isn't acceptable behavior. I've worked with youth leadership groups across the state. It's been really enlightening. We've got some really good kids out there doing peer mentoring. And it's also follows into some other after-school programs, keeping kids busy and keeping adults busy, keeping them productive and giving them jobs. Jobs are really a key to a whole lot of the cures to a lot of our social ills.
Okay, now the host will ask a few questions, and we'll start with Representative Holmes. And my question would be, we have many guests and potential legislators and legislators who appear on this show and talk about how Alaska needs a fiscal plan, and we have to have one, and it's imperative, and we never get a fiscal plan. Why is that?
Yeah. the elephant in the room. Well, part of what we've done in the last few years that I'm really proud of is that we have put about $12 billion of the surplus into savings. And that is definitely one part of the fiscal plan is, as Mr. Dugan was saying, Representative Dugan was saying before us, you can't spend everything that comes in the door. If you spend all the money you earn every year, then that's a problem. A fiscal plan in a state where 90% of your economy comes from one industry, in our case, the oil and gas industry, is difficult because it's volatile. So what we need to do is ensure that there continues to be gas in the pipeline so that we continue to have income to the state. You can't in our state tax your way into prosperity. Even if you were to put an income tax in, we don't have enough of people here. So like most good things, it's going to be a little bit of a lot of things. It's going to be continuing to grow industry. It's going to be continuing to save money and not spend all of it. It's going to be a whole lot of different things.
Okay, Mr. Eisley.
Same question?
Yes, sir.
When I did budgeting, you figured out how much money you were going to get, and you allocated about 90% of it, keeping about 10% in reserve, and went from there. It seems like our city and our state, they decide what they want, and then they try and figure out a way to pay for it, which is kind of going at it backwards. I would like to see a spending plan, and I would like to see it go away from oil. And I would like to see a lot of the oil money be put into developing different types of electrical energy. And I believe we could do it, and with the resources we have in the state with geothermal, wind, tidal, and hydro, that we could probably be totally off any type of natural gas and oil within 20 years. The technology is all there right now. We're just not using it.
Thank you very much. We'll stick with you, Mr. Eisley. Let's say you're in the legislature and a constituent comes to your office to tell you, remember, my family's in a terrible car wreck and I don't have any insurance. I'm working. I've worked for 30 years. I pay taxes, but I can't get insured. What would you tell this person? But they're come to you for help.
Well, it's kind of interesting that they can't get insured. I think I would like to find out more facts why they couldn't get insured. There's generally reasons for something like that, and there's usually another side of the story they're not telling you. So I would basically investigate before I really jump through any hoops to help.
But
them
I do think
out.
It's true that some employers don't offer insurance.
Being in the private sector, I've been working for a lot of employees that don't offer insurance.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Eisley. Lindsay Holmes.
Thank you. Michael, are we talking about health insurance?
Yeah, health insurance.
Health insurance, yeah. Obviously, that's a big problem in our state. The lots of people even who have insurance in the form of Medicare can't find a doctor who will see them. And there are a lot, we have a high rate of uninsured people. I think that we need to work more on pools of insurance across state lines. That's been a hard issue. But Alaska has a pretty small number of insurance companies that do business up here. And I think if we could find ways to pool from among small businesses and across state lines, that would help make it a lot easier to obtain insurance.
Health insurance. Thank you. We have time for one more question here. And it's completely different. Is the AGIA process working?
I think the AGIA process is working. I was one of the 59 who voted for the AGIA process. I think that in the current economic situation that we have in the world, to have one company moving forward on a project of this size would be amazing, and we've got two. We've got the Denali project and the Trans-Canada Exxon project both moving forward, and I think that that's remarkable given the state of the world economy. We've had two open seasons, and we've been told that both of them have received bids, and I'm anxious to see the next step.
Mr. Isley.
I'm not totally up on the fine points of it. From what I can tell, it appears to be working. Again, you're not privy to all that, and I'm not at a particular spot where I could sit back and go over it with a fine-tooth comb. But it does appear to be working, and it's any solution that you have to bring your product to market is good. I would just like to see us not use all our product up and sell as much as we can, whether it be coal, gas, oil. It all needs to go to market, and all of it would help us transition to a different type of power.
Now we'll go to our closing statements, and we'll hear first from Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Michael, and I'd like to thank KAKM and all of those who are watching at home or are listening. I've really enjoyed representing our neighborhood in the legislature the past 4 years. It really has been a tremendous honor for me. I'm running for re-election because I love Alaska and because I love our community. My goals are pretty straightforward. I want our kids to have the same great opportunities growing up that I had. I want to keep them safe. I want to provide them with a good education and then have good jobs for them when they come out. And that's really what I want to accomplish in the legislature. I would appreciate your vote on Election Day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Isley, you have time for a closing statement, sir.
Okay. I'd like to thank everybody for allowing us to be here and give our views or questions. And I'm basically running just to try and get some of my views across. I'd like to see our educational system improved. I'd like to see our energy transfer away from oil and gas, because I think that's just prolonging the problem. If you believe in term limits, I think it's my turn now. I would like your vote. If nothing else, walking through collecting signatures to get on the ballot, the amount of complacency I saw with the general people, I sit back and realize that so few of the people are controlling so many of the people. And I'd really like to see more people get involved in their community councils, get involved in their government, because if you don't start getting involved now, you're going to lose it.
Thank you, Phil Isley. Thank you, candidates. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with more House candidates in just a minute. Stick with us.